Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. It's good to see all of you out on this rainy morning. And we want to extend a very special welcome to those of you that might be visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience. And if you are looking for a church home, we ask that when the attendance pads are passed down that you give us your address and phone number so that we might have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. And if you would now pass those attendance pads down, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance and pass those back to the center aisle, and the person on the aisle, please tear those off and place them in the offering plate. A reminder to all of the members of the Board of Stewards that there will be a very important meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock in the Trinity classroom, so all members of the Board of Stewards, please plan on being present for that meeting. Immediately following the Board of Stewards meeting, there will be a very brief meeting, a charge conference for an important vote, and again, that will be a very brief meeting. So, members of the Board of Stewards, please plan on being present for that meeting. We also want to invite you this evening at 7 o'clock to the Youth Talent Show. I understand that there is talent in this church that you would not believe. And there is a rumor going around that a certain minister may be singing this afternoon. And certain staff members may be showing some of their talent. So you don't want to miss this, believe me. At 7 o'clock this afternoon in the fellowship hall. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Would you please stand for the call to worship? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with happy songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. Remember that he made us and that we are his. We are his people, the flock of his pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless his holy name. Give thanks and bless his holy name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Be seated and join in the invocation as printed in the bulletin. Faithful Shepherd, you are not a hireling who runs away at the sight of danger, but your fidelity was tested and proven in this world and on the cross. Accept the gift of our gratitude for your marvelous care. Help us to hear and follow your voice. Watchful Shepherd, who protects the flock and searches tirelessly for those who wander from the fold, retrieve the lost and bring them home. Tend and heal their wounds. Good Shepherd, who lays down his life for his sheep, nourish your people with the bread of life, that we may reflect your likeness and enjoy the spring of living water that never ends. Amen.
I'm going to invite forward Glenn Williams, who has a very exciting announcement about a new scholarship opportunity here at Main Street.
Good morning. I've been blessed this morning to tell you about a scholarship that has been started to help Backyard Bible Club children who plan to attend college. Backyard Bible Club was started by Main Street 9 years ago as a ministry to inner city children in Greenwood. We meet every third Saturday from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and we also have weekly Bible clubs in various neighborhoods during the summer. Many of you have volunteered over the years and know what a blessing it is to help lift these children up to Jesus. Our theme verse is Mark 10:14-16, which reads, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Over the years, over the last 9 years, more than 700 children have been told about Jesus through the Backyard Bible Club. During these early years, there were four special ladies who volunteered on a regular basis and were a great encouragement to all of us volunteers. And they swept floors, they handed out flyers, they held babies, and they taught the children manners. But most of all, they demonstrated the love of their Savior to these children. The children loved them so much, and the volunteers loved them so much. The scholarship established has been named the Saint Scholarship in honor of these four Backyard Bible Club saints. And they are Mrs. Margaret Tinsley, Mrs. Louise Arnold, Mrs. Annalecta Stockman, and Mrs. Flo Young. Although they don't get to come to the park on the third Saturday anymore, we know that their prayers are still lifting these children up to Jesus. And I'd like to thank Annalecta, Flo, Ms. Margaret, and Louise for your inspiration and love. We love you, and the Backyard Bible children love you, and Jesus is smiling on you. Thank you.
It is certainly a worthy scholarship and a worthy memorial for all the work that they have done, these ladies, these saints, in getting this worthy ministry off the ground. Now, as we go to our time of prayer, I call your attention to the very many people we have in our circle of concern. Bill Nicholson is doing better. Bobby Stroud recovering from having her foot and part of her leg removed. Carol Bateman receiving treatment. Reynolds Griffin was in the hospital back home. Phyllis Legg has had a serious stroke. Dorothy Hill is in the hospital with some complications. Joyce Bartless receiving treatment, doing well. Emily King has returned home. Bud Pendergrass returned home. We pray for Lieutenant Brad DeLoach. My mother, as I announced last week, has the good kind of leukemia, if there is such a thing, so she's doing well. Kyle Bennett, Amanda Hinton, Ray Ballantyne, David Abney, Bette McCord Bly, and our sympathy to Bob Curitan at the death of his brother, John. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, like a shepherd, lead us. Lead us through our dark valleys. Lead us through the slippery places we walk. Lead us past the bright temptations and ever toward that peace which is trusting you. Everywhere and in every place, voices cry out to us for allegiance and for division. Help us to hear your call to unity of love, forgiveness, and grace, not only for ourselves, but for others, even for our enemies. Lord, we need your help to accept your love, to believe and rejoice in your forgiveness. It is so hard to believe in something so good and so free and so true as your amazing grace, your love for us, that we know through Jesus Christ. We thank you. Like a shepherd, lead us toward faith and toward deeper faith, from belief to acceptance to sharing the wholeness to the salvation which is connection to you and outreach to others. And now, Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts for each family represented here and their concerns, for those we have mentioned, for those we hold dear in our hearts and souls and private prayers. And for the leaders of the nations of this world, we do pray the influence of your Holy Spirit for ourselves and for each other. Lord, hear our private prayers. Yes, Lord, hear our prayers. For we do pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now we do invite forward Dylan Pace and his family. Dylan is more than ready, I think, to be baptized. We'll invite you forward. I'll ask the congregation to turn to number 39. Y'all can come all the way around. Come all the way around. It's okay. I think y'all can fit up here if you'd like. Okay. I appreciate that Dylan understands that this is an important step. And that sometimes faith must be worked out with fear and trembling. Please join me on page 39. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. What does he want? Does he want something? The bottle. Okay, let's get the bottle. Okay. It's okay. There is spiritual nourishment here and sometimes other sorts. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present Dylan Pace for baptism. Now I ask you, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves and to profess their faith openly and to lead a Christian life? Now to the congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. To everyone, let us now join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Take the bottle and off. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. There.
Dylan Pace, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you hold it? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Yes, members of the household of God, I do commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all want to sort of lay your hands on him for a blessing? Let's do this. And now, Dylan Pace, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Now I invite our children forward for the children's time this morning with Allie Williams.
Good morning, boys and girls. Did y'all hear Mr. Glenn talking about saints? Did y'all know we have saints at Main Street? We do. And I want to tell y'all what a saint is. A saint is someone who shows God how much they love Him by loving other people. And today we're talking about four saints that used to help with Backyard Bible Club. And those people showed how they loved the children in different ways. Let's see. Would you give out invitations and invite children to come to Backyard Bible Club? That's what one of our saints did. Her name was Anna Lecter. And we had another saint, and every week she brought a broom. Hampton, would you come sweep for a minute? You don't want to sweep. Does somebody want to sweep? All right, come sweep for a minute. And every week, one of our saints named Flo Young would come, and she would sweep the picnic area. Just sweep the floor. And that way, when we had our lunch, we had a nice, clean picnic area. And we had another saint named Miss Margaret. And Miss Margaret loved the babies. And sometimes brothers and sisters would have to bring their baby brothers and sisters to Backyard Bible Club, because they had to watch them. Okay. Thank you. You finished? I need somebody who likes to hold babies. You like to hold babies? Would you hold and love our babies? Because that's what Miss Margaret did. And we had another saint named Miss Louise. And Miss Louise knew how important it was that all our children remembered their manners. And so every Saturday, Miss Louise would give the children plates for lunch. And would you make sure they say please and thank you? Because that's what Ms. Louise would do. She would remind them how important their manners were. And this is what our four saints at Backyard Bible Club did. And I just want us to use their example. And I want all of us to love others and to show God we love Him. And we'll be saints at Main Street. All right. Have you finished loving my baby? Thank you. All right. Let's close our eyes and say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving us and help us to love others. Thank you for these four special saints and all the saints at Main Street. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all.
Let us pass the peace. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our offerings, our tithes, our special gifts.
Creator God, giver of all good gifts and of love and life eternal, we thank you for the resources to meet all of our needs and enough for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these gifts, these return unto your house. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 18. Hear now God's word. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We have already said together the Apostles' Creed as part of the baptism ritual, so let us sing the Gloria now. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've mentioned a few times in the past few weeks my Uncle Archie, who just turned 86. He was in the Army from the time he was 16 years old. He was in World War II in Iraq, and he was in North Africa part of the time. Then he was in Korea. Then after that, he instructed at a military college in Tennessee, and it sort of got in his bones. He does not walk. He marches. And he understands chain of command. When my aunt was alive, he always said, "Yes, Chief." And on a good day, he said, "Yes, Chiefy." That was about as informal as it got. He understood chain of command. In fact, my wife Caroline says that life would be better if I did, but in faith, ultimately, Jesus is my shepherd. Now that makes me a sheep. A sheep. Now, we don't like being called sheep. The sheep don't have a great reputation. They are always led. I have read that if you try to drive sheep the way you drive cattle, that they will just run around and get behind you. You can't drive them. They just run around and get behind. They insist on being led. We don't like to be called sheep. Let me tell you a story. Once a woman was driving around a hairpin turn up in the mountains on a narrow country road, and she swung wide right around the outside of the turn, and she forced a man coming in the opposite direction to swerve sharply. It was summer. Their windows were down, and as they passed, the woman shouted out, "Pig!" Well, the man got mad. He thought, "The nerve! Run me off the road and call me names." So he looked back over his shoulder and he said, "Jackass." Then as he looked back around the curve and was driving, he crashed into the biggest pig he had ever seen. We are sheep, whether we like being called names such as sheep or not. Now, many a religious con man or con woman has taken advantage of our God-given spiritual hunger and our human herd mentality and led folks off into outrageous belief after outrageous belief and to financial ruin and even into death. It has been, some of you will remember, 9 years since the Hale-Bopp comet incident. Do you remember that? You think that you could never get sucked into a cult or some sort of a para-Christian sect. So did these middle-class professionals, upper-middle-class professionals with master's degrees, killed themselves 9 years ago seeking passage on a UFO they believed was following in the tail of the Hale-Bopp comet. And then there are other stories just like it. Our confidence that we could never be led astray is our weakness. Our confidence that we are more observant and smarter and better informed is our downfall. Our faith in ourselves can do us in. Jesus warns that we need a shepherd, and he proclaims that he is the good shepherd. It is not faith in ourselves that saves us. It is our faith in God in Christ, the Good Shepherd. You know, children like to play the game, follow the leader. I'm afraid that happens among adults too. I was reminded of an odd statistical fact. It may be a statistical anomaly, but it is a fact. While I was attending the mental health dinner Thursday night, Neil Asman invited me to go, and I had to go. I didn't want to give the public statement that I was against mental health, so I went to the banquet. But there's an odd fact. For whatever reason, when a community opens and advertises on billboards a suicide prevention hotline, do you know what happens? The number of suicides go up. This is just a statistical fact. One theory is the more we speak unspeakable things, or the more we think unthinkable thoughts, the more they become real options in people's lives. The more they happen. That's one theory. I'm not certain. But the game Follow the Leader is more than just a children's game. We are sheep, and when prominent, newsworthy people do something, whatever that something is, even when it is suicide, some people will follow. Does anyone know what the term payola means? You don't have to say anything, but do you know what payola means? Some of you? A few? Okay, a few people know what payola means. It's an illegal practice, and I don't know that it's done anymore, but years ago, you'd get a popular DJ to give airtime, that is to play multiple times on the radio, a brand new artist or a brand new recording, so that the public would start to think, well, that must be popular, and I want to be popular, so I'll buy that recording. Payola was done because it works. And in the same way, companies now pay movie producers to have fictional characters use real products in movies because it works. It plants in our brains that if we too want to be cool like that fictional character, we will use that real product. Our world constantly sends the message that fashionable people do this, or smart people do this, or pretty people use this, or informed people believe that. We are sheep more than we like to think. Even our deeply held beliefs are shaped to a large degree by who we listen to. Who do we listen to? What words and phrases are out there that are meant to influence our opinions? I saw a new word last week, a word that is meant to influence our opinions. Now, you must listen very carefully and not misquote me, or you'll think I'm saying something I'm not. But this new word is Islamophobia. Now, it sounds bad. It sounds like a psychological condition. It implies an unreasonable fear of Islam. But I started thinking, if I lived in Israel, and the elected president of Iran said publicly and frequently that because of his understanding of his Islamic faith, he intended to use nuclear weapons to wipe Israel off the map, is that an unreasonable fear? In case you wonder my source for that threat, it is the BBC. Iran's president has called for Israel to be wiped off the map. Unquote. That's not an unreasonable fear. The Da Vinci Code is certainly meant to influence uninformed people who don't know about early church history or the formation of the New Testament canon. We may have a course on that. I struggled through the study of all these things and Gnosticism and the Gospels that came, so-called Gospels, late, 200 years late, that they're dragging up and claiming authority for. I never thought anybody in the world would be interested in these things. And here we are with a movie. And some claiming the church has been hiding these things. No, we haven't. They just aren't that important. It will influence some people, this movie, because we are sheep. We all follow some voice or another. Some fashionable phrase or work of fiction does inform our opinions. What shepherd do we follow? There's so many voices. Is anybody here old enough to remember the Elvis album that on the front cover said 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong? Anybody remember that? I'm old enough to remember that. Oh, come on, there must be a few more. Well, anyway, is that how we judge truth and trustworthiness? Numbers? If 50 million people believe anything, must it be true? Not all beliefs, even if popular, are good. Not all voices are worthy of following, and not all paths have the same destination. I have seen, and you have too, the old black and white films, the horrifying films of thousands and thousands of people in Nazi Germany, frenzied followers saluting and praising Adolf Hitler. Popularity does not equal truth or trustworthiness. There are many faiths. How is Jesus the good shepherd? Well, I started thinking of this. His message was unique in an important way. Other faiths prescribe and proscribe certain teachings and certain knowledge and certain rituals and duties and holy actions and holy places as stepping stones to get to God. Jesus' message was nothing like that. Jesus' message is that God has come to us. Jesus is unique in that His message proclaims your salvation is complete and bought and paid for. Accept it. Have faith in the God who has done this for you. Live out a life of love and hope that can never be taken away because of what God has already accomplished in Jesus Christ. Live out that faith and accept it. That's all that's required. There are no required scriptures that must be memorized or holy places or rituals or duties or acts that you must do to earn God's love and grace. In fact, Jesus' teaching is that you could not earn it if you try. It is a gift. Using the same shepherd and sheep language in Luke 12, verse 32, Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock." He calls us a flock. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is a gift. Merely accept it. Rejoice in it. And love others as I have loved you. I will empower you to be able to love others as I have loved you. So, just shh, little sheep. Listen to my voice. I have given myself for you. It is done. It is done. Accept your acceptance. Salvation is not something we achieve. It is something we receive. It's something we accept. It is done for us in Christ. That is the good news. There was a Barna poll not long ago. It said 56% of people in America say a good person can earn their way into heaven. But 100% of the New Testament says that life and love and forgiveness and life eternal are all gifts from God. You can't earn a gift. You can just accept it or reject it, but you cannot earn it. I suggest that we accept it and enjoy it and share it with others. That is the Christian life. And so follow the trustworthy shepherd who has nothing to gain. And as the Scripture here says, is not a hireling gaining from His influence over others. Jesus has only to give and we to gain from following Him as our shepherd through this life and unto the next life. As the philosopher and mathematician Pascal once wrote, he said, you lose nothing by following Jesus Christ. You have only to gain. And he reasoned it this way, philosophically. He said, if all that Jesus said is true, then you follow Him from this life into life eternal, and you win. But even if nothing He said is true, then by following Jesus, you live as one forgiven and forgiving, as one loved and loving. You still win by living the best possible life while walking this earth. There is no way to lose, says the philosopher Pascal, by following Jesus as your shepherd. Who tells you? Or tries to tell you what to believe? Who do you allow to influence you? Who defines your reality, your sense of right or wrong? Or have you listened to those who smirk and say there are no such things as right and wrong? We move through this world and we interact with others and we spend our time and money based on some set of assumptions. As your minister, I want to say, and I hope it is safe for me to assume that you are here today because you are followers of Jesus Christ, and that you do seek the guidance and the teachings of Jesus Christ when you make decisions that make up direction in your life. I assume, and I hope it is safe for me to assume, that you pray and you struggle about your decisions and your priorities. I assume that you guard yourself against fad and fashion and spoon-fed ideas from others, even if it comes from the pulpit. Even if it comes from the pulpit, you should test it against Scripture and prayer for the spirit of discernment to see if it fits or if it conflicts with the Word of God. Where is the place of the Good Shepherd Jesus in your life is my question. How prominent is His leadership? How deeply do we live out the joy of knowing He has done for us what needs to be done to restore relationship, to have our sins forgiven, and to open the door to eternal life? That is joy. And that is a joy we should live out. Knowing that we're already as loved as we can be by God. As forgiven as we can be by God. Because of what has been accomplished for us in Jesus Christ, we have this deep joy that ought to show. Do we live like we know it? Do we show it to friend and to enemy and to family alike? It can be the most difficult thing to live out your faith before family. It can. The crux of what it looks like to follow Jesus as shepherd is
trust. When we trust God more than the passing fancies of the crowd, our whole life is calmer. It is more peaceful. And the further we follow, the stranger the world may think we are. But so they thought about Jesus as He walked the earth as well. It is good to be strange like Jesus and rest in the arms of trust. Much better than to be tossed to and fro, wondering what all the cool kids will be believing next. When we focus and follow Jesus as our shepherd, we may well go and we may well grow in entirely different directions. God's growing kingdom grows when we follow Jesus further down that narrow path as He described it. It grows when we follow. It grows when others see us follow. It grows when we turn down the volume of the other voices and listen intently for that still small voice of God to see, where is God calling me next? Where is God calling me next? The Good Shepherd. Let us follow Him. Amen. Please stand. And now, forgiven sinners, all saints in the making, receive this blessing. Knowledge of the full love of God the Father, the grace and complete forgiveness of your Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ,
and the comfort and the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit be with you now and sustain you unto life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.